We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. Mark Reardon.
The heart of America is not government. The center of America is not Washington, D.C. The center of America is the neighborhoods where 330 million Americans are raising their kids and trying to put food on the table and trying to love their neighbors.
Mark Reardon.
There's nothing worse than a reckless jackass who thinks he's smarter than everybody else.
I am the smartest man alive!
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
Well, it's damn cold outside, and I don't like it one bit. I'll tell you that right now as we start a Tuesday edition of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. We all have, or good afternoon. What am I saying good morning for?
I didn't even notice.
What just happened there? I haven't done morning
radio.
You can't
think in the cold. And it's freezing in here, too.
Holy cow. That's where the brain is not working. There was somebody, my friend Paul in Columbia, Missouri, Mo Lewis, has been texting me the last couple of days. And this goes to the issue of memory. Sue, I think you'd be able to relate with this more than Dave just because we're getting older.
I don't know what you mean.
Maybe this is just me. So he sends me, his wife had discovered these plastic bar cups, like from back in the day. I worked at this bar, I told you. Toads was the name of the bar. We had these little white cups with a black toad. And Robin, his wife, found one of these. And I'm like, I got to have that because I don't have any Toads memorabilia. I do have an old shirt that one of my roommates saved from me, and that's the only thing that I have. So then he sends Deja Vu, which was another bar. Was that around when you were there, Dave, for the 6 months you were there?
Oh, stop it. I can't recall if that's a place I illegally got into.
Downtown, and they did comedy there. There was a lot of good comedy nights
there. Yes, it was there, yes.
So then I was saying, oh, man, what was that place over by Forum 8? This was back in the 80s, and I said, Whispers, and that was it. And my comment to him was, that was the name of the bar. I said, how can I remember that? It was 35 years ago. Every time I was in there, I was blackout drunk, and I can't remember what happened this morning. So that's how your brain works.
Yeah.
You understand my point on that?
I mean, those things
kind of come back to me, and they come back to all of us, but we can't remember things that happened perhaps yesterday. Before the show started here this afternoon, we were having a very intense discussion about budget billing.
Yes.
The pros and cons of budget billing, because I get these things from Ameren, and it tells me, I don't know, this is new, maybe I signed up for something. It says, you've spent this much money this month, and you have 15 days left on your billing cycle. So I don't do budget billing. Sue is trying to sell me on the pluses of budget billing. Dave, do you do budget billing?
I did it when I lived by myself, but not anymore.
Okay.
I am a budget biller. And I don't get any kind of communication that yells at me or tells me how much I'm using per month. I just know that.
Maybe that's what. But I think, I mean, it would seemingly it would be something you could still do if you weren't, you know, paying every month. I don't know. Maybe it's something I signed up for. I don't know.
It smooths everything out. I like it. So obviously you spend more on electric in the summer and then it'll be really high. And instead of doing that, you'll just pay, I don't know, $90 year round or $60 for gas year round, depending on, you know, your house.
Well, not me. I'll tell you that much. The house is just slightly more expensive than that. But this says your projected electric bill. And right now, my projected electric bill is $149. It says I've spent $90. I have 15 days left in the billing cycle. So I think they're trying to, you know, incentivize you to, and they put these little charts in here sometimes, too. This is where you're using too much electricity, like things that are always on. Apparently, I have things that are always on in my house. It's always surprising to me because things that you would think sometimes that use a lot of electricity, sometimes they don't. Does that Does that register with anyone?
I was going to try
to look this up, and now I don't know if I can because...
I know what you mean, because there's things in my house where I think do not use a lot, and ends up they do, and things that you would think would use a ton
don't
use
like
much at all.
If I would have prepared better for my radio show, I could probably... Here it is, here it is. Okay, so I found the chart. I was spelling Ameren wrong. So what it says is your energy use by appliance, and it says always on 40. So I don't know what always... That means... appliances. Oh, refrigerator. So that would qualify. All right, there we go. Heating. That's $18. Laundry. Laundry's pretty low, and we do a lot of laundry.
Yeah.
So that means energy. Water heating. That's very low. It's like $7. Then it says refrigeration. So that doesn't make any sense. That's $5. What's the always on compared to refrigeration? Cooking, $5. That's because we eat out all the time. That's why.
Dang.
Lighting, that's $4. And then other is, I don't know what other is. But,
well, how's
you know,
skin up to $200 then?
Well, because you add it up, and this was for part of the month, too. It wasn't for the entire month, I think.
This is a
fascinating
tour.
But you add it up,
Dave.
It's like 40 plus 18 plus 8 plus 7. You get to like 149 or something.
Oh,
like that.
I missed the 40. What was the 40?
Yeah.
That was the always on.
Oh, that's the, okay.
Is that the accumulated always on? So
don't know.
The fridge
like lights and
the
stuff
lights
like that?
And the,
I don't know.
What else is always on?
I guess smart devices, smart plugs. Do you have some of those?
I mean, like a DirecTV receiver or...
That's always on?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, that's
always
just
plugged
it. Like,
in.
Is your, yeah, is it always sucking electricity? I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you just budget bill, you know what you're going to get. And it's really nice in the summer when you have those really outrageously high electric bills.
Okay, I used to do it. Now, let me tell you, let me explain to you why I took a stand against budget billing back in the day, Sue. And I'm going to stand by my principles here. Every time, and this was with Ameren, so I did budget billing. Here's the bill every month. Oh, that's easy. Every year it goes up. It's like, well, here's your budget bill, but we're off, so now your budget bill is $50 more. Didn't make sense to me.
$50 more? No,
the
it's
host
more like
might
10.
Be exaggerating.
Yes.
So I'm doing
no.
it for
Thank
effect.
You.
The host exaggerates for effect. Just go with it and run with it. I like to lie about things to exaggerate. But yes, so that got frustrating, so I don't do it. And the reason, I think the reason is, too, is my gas bill is so low over the summer, and then I just pay it
and
vice
rather
versa.
Than pay an outrageously high thing rather than pay an extra $5 when they adjust the budget billing?
Yes, I would.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, then, all right. I don't.
Mentally,
I can't argue with
the mental games I play with money. Yes, for whatever reason, I like having the lower bill. I don't know why I do it, but I just do it.
Both will be lower all year round.
I should look at that, but
I don't.
It really is a good idea.
I'll have to look into it. I will say this, that I'm in the process right now of doing what only can be referred to as a financial autopsy, a personal financial autopsy.
Some
in other
call
words,
that an audit.
Well, yeah, maybe something like that. But what I'm doing is just going through, and this gets tough. I think it gets tougher to do maybe now more than ever just because we have so many different, and look, I choose to make services part of my life. So I'm not saying that I'm required, although my job does require a certain amount. So I go through my subscriptions, for example. You know, the automatic things that come out every month.
Oh, yeah.
I have Wall Street Journal, LA Times, New York Times, Hot Air. There's a bunch of St. Louis Post. I have to pay for the St. Louis Post Dispatch. That in and of itself is painful. But you start looking at things like I don't even use Apple Music. I'm paying for Apple Music, $8.99 a month.
What?
What do you mean? Oh, because he has
no
Tidal,
idea.
As you know.
But why are you paying
cancel
for it if you don't even use it?
I don't know, and I don't... Tell me how to cancel it.
Apple makes it easy.
Apple, you can actually do it.
Dave.
Yes.
You say that. I've canceled it, and maybe
it's
I canceled
there?
It. I don't know. Sometimes I just give up. I say uncle because I have no idea. You say Apple makes it easy. I think I've tried to cancel it before, and then, I give up. I don't go back.
Okay, here's what the internet says. How to cancel Apple Music. Go to music.apple.com. Choose sign in at top of page. If you don't see sign in, skip this step. Tap or click on the account icon. Choose settings. Scroll to choose manage and cancel subscription.
And then they usually make you like talk or chat with somebody for 3 hours before
you do it. Can you send that to me?
Yeah, I totally will.
Send that to me and see if I can do it. Because I actually just noticed that this week that was still coming through. And here's one thing that might have happened with that, just to give you an example. I canceled Apple Music in the past, and I think it was canceled effectively and efficiently. But I bought another Apple product, and with that purchase, if I already had it or I cancel it, hey, you're going to get Apple Music for free.
That's
for
how they
months.
Get you.
Right.
So oh, and then, it,
and then they start billing you. And then that's, so I think that's what happened.
And
that's
the same thing with, we talked about it last week, how Hulu was offering $1 a month for their services for a year.
Yep.
And then after 12 months is up, you just kind of forget. And then they you know, charge you the full price. That's how they get their money.
Yeah, the newspaper subscriptions are kind of sticking in my craw right now. Although, when I don't pay them, I meet the paywall. So the Wall Street Journal is a great resource for me, and I probably don't even use the Journal as much as any of those other publications. But I hit the paywall all the time. When I see something that I want to read, you know, I have to. But that's $38 a month, and it just adds up. Anyway, the financial autopsy is interesting because you're like, wait, I'm paying for that, and I'm sure. But having said all this, I'm certain that the overwhelming majority of people listening right now keep far better track of everything they're doing financially than I do.
Sometimes
I would recognize that. Have either of you been to the USS Arizona Memorial in Hawaii?
No,
at Pearl Harbor?
And I would like to go.
Love to.
You know, I've been there twice, and I want to talk about Pearl Harbor Day just a little bit. Somebody wrote a column today. You know, when I was a kid, Sue and I were young, I don't even think I know that I didn't know what it meant. I remember being 7 or 8 years old, and people would say, "Remember Pearl Harbor?" I'm like, "What are you talking about? I don't know." Well, then I came to recognize what, you know, the history was, and I've been to Hawaii twice, one time in the early 90s, and then probably about 8 or 9 years ago, both times going to the memorial. One of the coolest things, and this is not possible anymore, okay, and that's what's sad. One of the best things, especially the first time I went, the first time was 1992. Go aboard the memorial, and right there, I can't remember, I think it was right there on the memorial. It might have been before you have to take a little ferry out there, as I remember it. I might be, you know, again, you can't remember everything. But,
no, I think that's right.
But there were veterans, people who were there that day with their photo albums, with their scrapbooks, sharing the stories, talking to kids, making them aware of what they experienced on that morning and afternoon and how the world changed at that point. And then when I went, I guess it was maybe a decade ago, there were very few of those men around. And now you think about it, we're at the 80th anniversary. So if you were 18, if you were 19 or 20, you're hovering around 100 years old. We do have some members of the Greatest Generation, of course, that are still with us. But man, there just are not a lot. And, you know, I start to think of it in these terms. Let's say if we make it that long, we're 80 years old and we see people commemorating the 50th anniversary of 9/11, for example. And we've all been brought up. Let's not forget what happened 20 years ago. But will that be remembered, right? Because I think that there is, I would hold that there is a distinct lack of appreciation for what the Greatest Generation went through, what they sacrificed, and what their sacrifice meant to my freedom to pay $38 a month for the Wall Street Journal and all this other stuff that I'm complaining about.
I understand. I have a nice story in Sue's News about a Pearl Harbor veteran and his travels to Hawaii for today. So that's coming up.
That's not, is that David Russell?
I don't remember.
Because I don't want to use the same bite. But here's what happened, of course, 80 years ago today at Pearl Harbor.
The Japanese have attacked Pearl Harbor, Hawaii by air, President Roosevelt has just announced. The attack also was made on all naval and military activities on the principal island of Oahu.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy. The United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan.
You know, as I remember it, probably could Google this right now, I think I was told even the last time I was on the Arizona Memorial that the oil is still leaking to this day from that ship.
80 years of oil leaking?
That would have been like 70 years later. Yeah.
Wow.
I know that I was told that the last time that I was there. And it is highly recommended. If you go, you must go to the USS Arizona and the memorial, and it's very impressive. So I wanted to mention that a little bit here as we get started on this Tuesday afternoon. We have a lot to cover here. We have Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler, who's running for the Senate, coming in just a couple of minutes. We'll find out a little bit more about the call that the president had with Vladimir Putin today. That thing didn't get started off too well, Dave, did it?
No.
It was kind of a weird start.
Привет, господин президент. There you go.
Hello.
Добрый день.
Good to see you again. Last time we didn't get to see one another at the G20. I hope next time we meet, we do it in person.
He seemed a little confused there, but that's okay. That's something that we're used to.
Sounds like Russian club music in the back.
Well, you know what? I'm not so sure that might have been just the Fox music when they were promoting the second. I'm actually not positive about that. So
that was right on, Dave.
Hey, my old friend. Hey, my old friend. I'm surprised you didn't say that. But we'll talk more about that with Vicky and some of the other things that are going on here with the craziness in Washington. My colleague from down the hall, Charlie Brennan's going to drop by a little bit this afternoon right before Sue's news. We have General Keith Kellogg, who will weigh in on. He was during the Trump administration's written a book called War by Other Means, a general in the Trump White House. We had him on not too long ago, but General Kellogg will weigh in not only on Pearl Harbor, but some of the things that are going on with Russia and the Ukraine. So a lot of that and a whole lot more. You know, I mentioned this was something I think I talked about yesterday. Let me just get this briefly in because Scott Jennings is going to come on this afternoon and talk politics as well in the 5 o'clock hour. But I mentioned listening to Pete Hegseth last week. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. I'm driving out of the station, listening to the primetime show. And he mentioned something that was going to be part of a special when it comes to education. And I referenced this yesterday when we were talking about indoctrination. And I didn't have the soundbite handy, but here's the soundbite. This is a Princeton professor, Robert George. And I love how he's being so honest about this. And I want to talk to Jennings about this because he has taught at the Kennedy School at Harvard. He does on a regular basis. I think the pandemic put a little kibosh on that, but we'll find out.
You know, in the old days, there were some liberal or progressive professors who wanted to indoctrinate their kids. Not all, but there were professors who wanted to take the kid who might have come from a farm family in Iowa and is now at Yale or Princeton. The kid was a Boy Scout. The kid was a churchgoer, and the liberal professor would rub his hands together and say, "Okay, I'm going to take this kid, brought up by these rubes and hicks out there, and I'm going to indoctrinate him in liberal ideology." If such professors exist today, they must be very frustrated because they lose their opportunity to indoctrinate the kid because the kid comes in pre-indoctrinated.
I think that says a lot. We'll explore that a little bit more this afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk as we get rolling for a Tuesday afternoon edition. It's cold out there, too. Hang on to the
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I've decided it's time to start working in some Christmas music. And amongst my
love
favorites,
it.
Big Bad Voodoo Daddy here this afternoon. I love this one. Oh, Snowmeister.
I'll miss the white Christmas. I'll miss the cool.
Dave Klein will insert some of the holiday tunes. The Christmas music is going to start this week. We'll go all full bore Christmas bumps next week. And I have some good ones. I don't go all traditional. We have some unique ones. I love my Los Straitjackets, which is just instrumental. You know Los Straitjackets?
I don't know. Tell me the
song.
They
perform, well, it's not really a song. They perform with Mexican wrestling masks on. They don't really speak.
Oh.
Yeah, it's great. Probably. They're awesome. You'll love their Christmas music. Anyway, we are joined right now by Missouri Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler. She's running, of course, for the United States Senate. A lot of topics to talk about. Vicki, how are you this afternoon?
Oh, I'm great. How are you, Mark?
When are you going to come see me in person in the studio? We've never met in person, so I want to see if we can do that as we get into the new calendar year. You have to be campaigning here, right?
Yes, I would love to do that. We will make that happen.
Well, what did you think? Any thoughts? And I haven't even tracked this as much today because I was getting ready with some other stuff on the call that the president had with Vladimir Putin. Did anything of substance come out of that?
I haven't been able to track that myself either. I've been in back-to-back meetings all day, but boy, it is a crisis, and I sure hope he's able to come out with something substantive. What we are seeing is in the eyes of both China and Russia, that they are viewing this president as weak and our nation as weak after the debacle that happened in Afghanistan, and that has emboldened them, where he has now have these troops and equipment all surrounding Ukraine, who is just crying out, wanting to continue to be a democracy, wanting to align themselves with the West. And we have got to stand with this country. They deserve more than just defensive equipment. They deserve offensive equipment, anything they need to be able to defend themselves so they're not a sitting duck to a very predatory Russia.
I'm old enough to remember when President Trump was, embarrassing this country around the world. That's what we were told on a regular basis, right?
Right, but he was standing strong for America and reestablishing our place in the world as being a world leader. And now we're viewed as someone our allies can't trust and our enemies don't fear, and that is not a good place to be.
Well, let's talk about what came out of your chamber and sent to the Senate with I don't know what you call it. Senator Blunt calls it Build Back Broke. I think other people, I like that as well. Obviously, it clears the House. What are your thoughts on what happens next? Obviously, there are people in the Senate that are holding firm right now. Any expectations? Will they get this even passed and to the president, Vicki?
Well, I'm certainly hopeful that it will not pass.
Right.
This is just a disastrous bill. Establishes 150 new programs, many of them just furthering a socialist agenda to make people dependent on government. Spending money we don't have, further fueling inflation, establishes more the Green New Deal. Passes $80 billion for new 87,000 new IRS agents to go after us, puts a tax on natural gas, which is going to further increase the price of energy, especially going into the wintertime for our families. It further cuts back on American energy production here, which, you know, we need to be energy independent again, and the Biden administration is doing everything possible to make us dependent. There's so many reasons to vote no, and I'm hopeful that Senator Manchin and Senator Sinema will hold firm. One of the provisions in here that Senator Manchin has said is a red line for him is the insistence of Nancy Pelosi and the radicals here in the House to do away with what the Hyde Amendments and what those are protections for taxpayers, saying that you don't have to pay for abortions. That has been the policy for over 40 years, a compromise between pro-choice, pro-abortion people. And it just makes sense. The American public is on that side of not paying for that. And the House bill does away with that. And Senator Manchin said, if that stays in, there's no way I'm voting on it. So there's a lot of discussions, no doubt, going on over there in the Senate. But I hope he will hold firm, not only just for life, but also just for our national budget and inflation and, you know, freedom, so we don't pass this horrific bill.
Well, and you kind of walked me right into the Roe v. Wade issue and the arguments before the Supreme Court last week. I don't know if you had a chance to listen. They were quite fascinating. And it does appear at this point, even I think our friends on the left would admit, that Roe v. Wade is in serious jeopardy, finally.
Well, I am so encouraged by what happened last week. I was there in front of the Supreme Court, spoke at a rally on it about the importance of life and that our Declaration of Independence says that's one of our foundational rights. And there's nowhere in the Constitution that gives a right to abortion. And yet we had an activist court back in 1973 that took it upon themselves to establish a new standard and to legislate from the bench. And we need to return this back to the elected officials officials who are representatives of the people to determine this. And that's what would happen if they do reverse Roe versus Wade. It doesn't eliminate abortion in the land. It would simply revert it back to the states, and each state could decide by their own elected officials what they want to do. And that's certainly the more proper venue for this issue. And it's going to save, you know, millions of lives. Right now, we've lost 62 million Americans aren't here anymore because of being aborted. And you just think about what those individuals could contribute to our society right now. Even on a practical basis, we would have maybe more people in the workforce, and we'd have more people paying into Social Security, so we wouldn't be near bankruptcy of that program, and maybe wouldn't have supply chain issues, but certainly we would have loved ones and just individuals, friends, neighbors that could be part of us. So I'm encouraged and hopeful that that's the day we will see soon.
I it's a complicated issue, and maybe I know that more than most from the perspective that my wife was pregnant with our daughter now when I turned 50. Now, I'm not saying that we strongly considered the other option, but obviously there are legal options in this country, and I get that there's complication. But it's always stunning to me, as someone who's been pro-life my whole life for a variety of reasons. One, my brother was born with hydrocephalus. I was born before Roe v. Wade, not knowing everything about my biological father. So this is very personal to me, and it's always stunning how much I think the other side in many instances is so callous about the possibility of human life. It's almost like they don't even admit that it exists.
Well, they do want to just focus solely on the woman. They don't want to think about that there really is a baby. They call it a tissue and things, because if they have to acknowledge that, then they have to live with that decision, and it makes it very hard. And I want to say this to any women who are listening who did make that decision, that there are people to support you. You don't have to suffer your whole life feeling guilty. Certainly God can forgive you. And there are programs, if you're thinking about it now, pregnancy care centers, there are people who want to support your pregnancy and support you. And so I believe we can be pro-woman and pro-life at the same time. We need to have grace for those who have gone through some hard times. But moving forward, we need to champion life, and we need to come alongside women in difficult positions and help them and make sure every life is valuable, both the mother as well as the baby.
Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler with me this afternoon. Last time we spoke, we talked a little bit about the issue with removing the provision to draft women from the defense bill. Is there an update on that?
Absolutely. We got the final news last night that it has been removed from the defense bill. And I'm so pleased. I've been working tirelessly on that. I'm on the as part of the leadership on the House Armed Services Committee, and it is removed. So that is a huge win for us. We can continue with all volunteer force as is. And we don't have to go down this path of wokeness that they were trying to infuse here, and saying that in order for women to be equal in this country, we have to reinstate draft. That is just silly. It's ridiculous. And now let's just get to focusing on the threats facing us and dealing with them.
What is your position right now? Let's talk about inflation just a little bit, Vicki, from the perspective of, is there anything else that Congress can do, or what your recommendations would be? Obviously, passing the BBB would be the worst thing for inflation. I think a lot of people and economists know that. But what else can you do?
Well, we haven't passed the spending bills yet. That's why we're living under a continuing resolution right now, and that's the lack of leadership of the Democrats who run the House and the Senate, that they've prioritized all these other radical bills in Congress, federal takeover of elections and trying to gun control laws and all these other things they've passed through rather than actually doing their job, which is to fund the government. And so there is the opportunity still to try to get this budget that spends less and starts moving towards a balanced budget. I've been the co-sponsor of the balanced budget amendment for years now. 49 of our states have a balanced budget requirement in their state constitution, yet we don't here in Washington, and that's why we are $29 trillion in debt. So I will certainly be advocating that we try to spend less and start moving towards a balanced budget. I doubt if we're successful now because of the leadership of the Democrats who want to just spend us into bankruptcy. But that is certainly what I'll be advocating for here.
What's the end game on that? You know, obviously we have now till February. Is there something that gets wrapped up with finality at that point, you think?
Well, that's what they would like to have is actually, you know, the appropriations bills all passed. They'll be negotiating between the House and the Senate. But if it's anything like they've been doing in the last few months, they'll totally cut out Republicans from the discussion. And they'll put in here every one of their wish list, every one of their, you know, spending priorities. They don't prioritize spending less and living within our means. So I expect it to look ugly when it comes about. And if they're not able to get a consensus, then we'll be back to, they'll discuss whether to do another continuing resolution to the, you know, end of the year or pushing it, kicking the can sure. down the road further. So I guess we'll just have to see.
Well, I'm going to be off that week leading up to Christmas. We only have 1 week between now and then, so I don't know if I'm going to chat with you again. Have a great Christmas, and you better come see me in person in January or February. How does that sound?
I'll look forward to it, and you have a wonderful Christmas, too. Thanks, Mark.
All right, thank you, Congresswoman. I appreciate it. Vicki Hartzler with us this afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk, 3:40 on a Tuesday afternoon edition. We'll get back with more here in a moment. There's an interesting story that is out about this academic journal they totally faked out and published a hoax. We'll get to that. We have Sue's News after 4 o'clock.
I got to tell you how much I love the snow miser. I'm just really enjoying this.
I can let it roll out.
Yes, I love
it. All right, here we go.
Bicycle, I'm Mr. Timberlow. Friends call me Snow Miser. Whatever I touch turns the snow in my clutch. I'm too much.
Sue's News on the way after the top of the hour. Then General Keith Kellogg, who is retired, was in the Trump White House, actually wrote a book called War by Other Means, a general in the Trump White House. His thoughts on the anniversary of Pearl Harbor and the current threats, China and Russia. We'll talk about that. Of course, the president with Vladimir Putin today on a phone call. They were chatting it up. We'll get his thoughts on that. So I talked about, this is an amazing thing to me, and I wish I could tell you that the things that you read or you hear about in the news on a regular basis are dependable and true. I can't do that anymore, and I think we've seen too many examples of the media messing things up. Even 60 Minutes, you can't trust 60 Minutes. See a great story even last weekend on 60 Minutes about the, Sue, did you see the story about the woman who was named, what was her name, Reality Winner?
Did you see that? Yeah, I don't watch 60 Minutes anymore.
Well, you shouldn't, but this was the girl, strange name, Reality Winner is her name. She was the one who was accused of spying. She went to prison, I think, for 18 months. They did a story on her the other night. It was actually a pretty interesting story.
Oh.
Don't know whether I can believe any of it.
I understand.
They've been, in my mind, discredited, for those people who don't know, mainly because, well, there's a variety of reasons, but they came in here. Bill Whitaker did this piece on Kim Gardner that was just ridiculous.
Yep.
Didn't address any of the reality of crime here in St. Louis. So you see example after example like that in the mainstream media of malpractice. So this is a little different, but it's related, because what happens is if you have, you know, your studies that come out in journals and publications,
sure.
Right? Peer-reviewed studies, right? That's the catchphrase. So there's a guy, I had this guy on the air, and we're going to try to get him back. Peter Boghossian is his name. He's a philosopher. And he and a group of people years ago put a bunch of papers together that were completely fake, all right? But they seemed real, right? They submitted them to publications.
Hmm.
The publications printed them.
Well, of course.
But the topics were look, this is what is hilarious. It's actually sad and funny at the same time. One of the topics was rape culture in dog parks. That was what they did a study on. They were messing with them, and they published it. Another was the feminist version of Mein Kampf. So they did that 4 years ago. Peter Boghossian, by the way, he's left. He was at Portland State University. He started a group called the Cognitive Liberty Group. But he responded to this story that I'm about to share with you. So there's a journal out there, one of the education journals called Higher Education Quarterly. I don't know if you subscribe, Sue.
I do not. Thank you for asking.
My subscription lapsed, so I haven't re-upped on that. They there are people that introduced, it wasn't the same group, Boghossian and all his people, but these were people that also tried to see if they would publish it. And the study said right-wing money strongly appears, conservative right-wing money strongly appears to induce faculty and administrators to believe that they are pressured to hire and promote people they regard as inferior candidates, to promote ideas they regard as poor, and to suppress people and ideas they regard as superior. That's the abstract that's in Higher Education Quarterly. So there was no peer review, or at least they didn't do any due diligence. They submitted this in April. It was approved in October, and it went to print.
Wow.
The authors, Sage Owens, quote unquote, and Cal Alvers Lind III, were UCLA professors, except they were not. They were not UCLA professors. One of them used an encrypted mail service for correspondence with the journal. They didn't check whether the conservative foundations named as active funders. So there was a group called the Randy Eller Foundation, completely made up. The Olin Foundation was another one they cited.
Wow.
And that one was real, but it shut down in 2005. So the author, who goes by Owens, told the Chronicle of Higher Education that the journal didn't even ask to see their data.
And he says, where is this getting published? What journal?
In Higher Education Quarterly.
Okay.
Which is right. So every page, he says, every page of this has glaring errors. They stated names that provided a clue because they were spelled as acronyms, but they still didn't pick up on the joke. Let's see here. Oh, because they used Sokol 3, and that's a reference to physicist Alan Sokol, and he did this parody of leftist gibberish in the journal Social Text in 1996, and that was part of the inspiration for that other group 4 years ago that got the fake papers studied. So this is unbelievable when you think about it, right? They basically, it fooled people, including Acadia University political scientist Jeffrey Sachs, who wrote a lengthy tweet thread sharing its findings.
Oh my God.
He did urge followers to take it with a grain of salt, and he acknowledged the mystery around the authors. Yeah, because the authors were fake. Right-wing donors are corrupting academia, Sachs said, citing the purported survey of 2,000 professors. It's funny just to think about that, right? It's the right-wing donors that are corrupting academia, citing the purported survey of 2,000 professors and administrators that found a far greater and more statistically significant effect from conservative than from liberal donors. One explanation might be they see right-wing libertarian donors as being more ideological, and therefore their money comes with strings attached, Sachs summarized. It raises the question whether universities have an obligation to reject money from right-wing sources. The whole thing was made up. The whole entire thing was a hoax specifically to see if someone would bite, and absolutely they bit. Hook, line, and sinker. So that's pretty good, though. Don't you think?
Well, and
I love
it
when
happened.
They expose this stuff. Well,
yeah,
nothing happened.
So
now
they,
you have
okay.
No. Now you have other. Now you have other people who are, chiming in and saying that this is outrageous. Even some people that claim that they were onto it, like this guy. Let's see, Jonathan Adler. Who's he? Maybe I should know who he is. He goes, I suspect, father, husband, law professor. He's a law professor. But he said, now I lost my page here.
Well, did the people
said,
who
I was suspicious after spending less than 5 minutes with this paper. I was not alone. Latest academic hoax is a doozy. And it is a doozy. It really is.
Did the people who wrote the paper under the false pretenses then go to the publication and say, you know what? That was us, and it wasn't real,
what are you going to do about it?
That's
actually a good point. This story doesn't say exactly what they did there, but there's a couple of organizations out there that are doing stories on this right now. I'm reading a story from justthenews.com. They are covering it on Powerline blog. Look, this should be a story. This should be a story that should be in the Post-Dispatch, in the New York Times, in the Washington Post, in the LA Times. People should write about this. They should expose what happened. Do you think they will? No, they won't.
How did this story get out? In other words, did the authors tell this person what happened?
I think they leaked it to some of the, like Powerline blog, that's more of a conservative. I think they leaked it to conservative outlets out there. And Dave Klein's telling me I got to shut up because I think I'm running way over on time. But that is interesting. I'll try to get someone, maybe Boghossian, on to talk about this because he can share what they did 4 years ago, which is interesting too.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.